please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code Taskmaster to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hard-working day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code TASKMASTER to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie. and welcome to Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. I'm your host, Jake P. John Paz. Of course, with me, the star of the show, the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great, JP. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. Let's get to the topic at hand. Let's talk about WCW Halloween Havoc 1999. It was held on October 24th. It was held in Paradise, Nevada, aka Las Vegas, Nevada, at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. The attendance, 8,464. The pay-per-view buys, not bad, 230K. Tagline, when our inner animals come out to play. Where are you at this point in October of 99?
I was home.
Why? Do you remember why?
The Russo came in and I might have been there. I don't think I was, but I might have been there to help out give a finish. But no, when Russo took over, the guys that were originally there were sent home.
So you were probably hunting and fishing?
Yeah, not hunting, but I was fishing probably.
Yeah. So this event is billed as the Hogan Sting rematch. So I don't know if you remember last time we were talking about Fall Brawl 99, and it was Hogan and Sting turns heel and he beats the yellow and red Hogan. Bischoff gets fired, so he's not a part of the pay-per-view. So it's kind of in flux there. I mean, you were booking Nash is there, Mold is there and stuff, but there's really no big honcho because Bischoff left. That pay-per-view only did 130,000 buys. This does 230,000 buys. So I think there was some interest because Hogan Sting rematch, I'm guessing. Like, is that kind of what you're thinking too?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that was the main event.
We'll get into while it doesn't end up being the main event because of some, I guess we'll say some crazy booking or some weirdness, which they kind of do again at Bash the Beach 2000, but we'll get into that in a second. Hogan, Sting, this pay-per-view, what you think is the main event, 230,000 buys. The WWF pay-per-view, on the other hand, was No Mercy, Steve Austin versus Triple H, 330,000 buys. So not that here in 99, not that, I mean, 100,000 is a lot, but it's not like a killer like it was the month before. Interesting.
Yeah, but they had Austin.
Yeah.
Very and true. Triple H, but Austin, he was at his zenith.
So when Russo and Ferrara come in, and they're a part of the WCW creative team now, obviously they're part of the WWF team that was helping to beat WCW. So it's almost like, hey, can you guys work your magic again? WWF beat WCW after WCW kicked their ass for over 2 years. Like, can you guys do the exact opposite and help WCW beat the WWF? Did you think, okay, like, I don't know about that because they got Vince McMahon on the other side. Like, I don't know if these writers are necessarily the key components to why they're winning. You know, obviously you have Vince, you have Steve Austin, you have The Rock, but they're kind of intimating, okay. Oh, must be the writers.
In the conversation, what you just said,
mm-hmm.
What did you just say? Vince McMahon, The Rock, and Steve Austin.
Right. But they do take a lot of credit, maybe wrongly or maybe rightly. The writers, Russo and Ferrara, were saying, oh, well, we created the Attitude Era. We wrote Crash TV.
Success has many children. Failure is a lonely place.
Do you think that maybe, not that they sold Bill Bush, whatever, a bill of goods, but do you think that, all right, I don't know about you guys being the, you know, the end all be all as far
was
as...
Was it ever repeated?
No. To me, it's a perfect storm. I mean, obviously, Russo's style, he wanted to do that Attitude Era stuff, but you had the guys to make it work, the Vinces and the Austins and the Rock. So kind of goes hand in hand, but obviously, if he was in WWF, when he came to WCW, I don't think he had the same magic.
And he also didn't have the same guys. At this time, too, Vince McMahon was the hottest heel in the business.
Big time. And if you look at it with Austin over there and The Rock, it's like, okay, there's who, you know, you have Hogan and you have those guys, but who's comparable as far as young guys? Goldberg, maybe? I mean, Hogan and Savage are old at this point. They had their run as Austin and The Rock, necessarily.
I don't think it's by any chance fluke that Austin was over like he was. He changed the landscape, and then you have The Rock, the biggest entertainer in the world today.
It is funny that you just look at that and you're like, okay, let's see what Russo and Ferrara can do here. They come in, they're doing the powers that be angle. I don't know if you remember that. Russo's off, he's off camera, but you hear his voice and he's kind of instructing the Harris boys. He's technically Vince. The Harris boys are Jerry and Pat making fun of Briscoe and Patterson. Shane is making fun of Shane McMahon. That was really Virgil or Vincent. Ferrara becomes Oklahoma. Did you like that powers that be stuff?
I thought Oklahoma was the biggest disgrace in the history of the business. You're making fun of a disabled guy.
Not their best work there. Did you think at that point that, like, okay, this is like taking it too far? Or like, did you say anything? You weren't even really there to say anything, but did anybody say anything to that? Like, that's like kind of taking it too far. It's a little extreme.
I'm not sure, but I thought it was deplorable. Jim Ross gave his life to the business. You ain't gonna make fun of him.
Now, the interesting part about that is Vince McMahon used to love that Ferrara would do that impersonation. So that's kind of where it came from. Kind of came from Vince, which I don't know if people realize that. Like, but you don't really need to bring behind the scenes, I guess, to the front. I know Ed completely regrets it, but one of those things where, yeah, it's funny to Vince McMahon, but you don't really need to bring that to the forefront. They both say they regret it and stuff, but I don't know if you want to bring that to TV.
I don't think so.
And then they brought in Dr. Death, too, to make it even kind of worse. You know what I mean? Like, to make it further into the JR Dr. Death, who supposedly at that point weren't getting along that great.
Yeah, because of the Brawl for It All, was it?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I guess Dr. Death gets released not that after, and I guess he thought JR's in charge of, you know, he's in charge of the talent, so maybe like he was not going to get released, he should have protected his boy. But and I know they had a little bit of a falling out at that point.
I'm sure they did.
So here are the powers that be have their kind of their inaugural show, if you will. This will be like their let's see what they got kind of thing. This is their first big pay-per-view. First match, Disco Inferno defeats Lash LaRue to retain the Cruiserweight Championship, 7 minutes, 30 seconds. What do you think about Disco and Lash going out of here?
I like both of them.
It's a pretty good match for the most part. Nothing crazy, but it's pretty good. What do you think of just Lash in general? Because he never got, you know, his big push. He never really was the Cruiserweight Champion. Technically, they were going to give it to him on a house show. It didn't really, you know, didn't work out that way. What did you think of Lash and how come he didn't go further?
There was a ceiling there, glass ceiling, and he had all the credentials to do it, all the talents in the world to do it. It's just wrong place, wrong time.
So as far as that, Disco as the Cruiserweight champion, do you like Disco in the Cruiserweight division? Or I know he was the prior year when you did Havoc. He was in the Cruiserweight division. You guys kind of made a funny angle out of it. He had to lose weight. You know, like kind of made it into a funny thing because he's not necessarily a Cruiserweight. Do you like him in the Cruiserweight division?
If it was done properly, yeah.
So the next matchup, Harlem Heat, Booker T, and Stevie Ray defeated the Filthy Animals, Billy Kidman, and Conan, also defeating the first family of Brian Knobbs and Hugh Morris with Jimmy Hart. This was a vacant WWE tag title match, and it was actually a street fight rules as well. The match goes 5 minutes, but Harlem Heat gets the win over Filthy Animals and the first family.
Harlem Heat was one of the greatest tag teams of all times, rightfully so. It should go over.
You think that's too many guys? Six-man tag street fight? Is that a bit much?
Yeah, I think it's too many guys, but that's just my opinion.
Almost seems like a little bit of a cluster here, and it was supposed to be Conan and Ray, but Kidman fills in because Ray was injured. I don't know, to me, it kind of works. It's not a great match. It's just on a little bit too much of a cluster when you go back and watch it. It's almost like, okay, you're going to have a street fight, but with six guys, I don't know, it doesn't work. A tag team street fight is okay, or a one-on-one street fight obviously is great, but I don't know, it's just impossible to kind of keep up with who's fighting and all this when you have a street fight with six guys.
If you think it's tough watching, imagine being the cameraman.
Yeah, true. It was like kind of almost tough to keep up with everything, because this could be going on here, you're focusing there, but then there's action over here, so then you got to switch over there.
Yeah.
So Harlem Heat end up getting the tag titles back. Like you said, they're one of the greatest. Obviously, there's a new booking regime here, but is it smart when you're in a new regime to kind of, okay, we'll keep some of the old guard. Like, we don't need to necessarily push all the guys I want in the future. Let's keep some old guard here on top.
You're going to keep guys that drew money. They drew money. And they're an established team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So then Ric Flair shown walking into the arena. He's alongside with David, his son. And then obviously they have DDP out as well. They're showing Goldberg's there. Mike Tenay is in the back with Eddie Guerrero. Just a lot of stuff going on, showing you kind of who's coming in and out of the building. Later on in the evening, DDP will wrestle Ric Flair in a strap match. But before that, Eddie Guerrero will defeat Perry Saturn in about 11 minutes. Pretty damn good match here. Eddie ends up getting the win by DQ, but I don't know. You can't go wrong. Eddie and Perry Saturn.
Yeah, it would be a very good match.
To me, though, the ending kind of kills it, like a DQ. Eddie ends up winning, but Flair actually comes out and he beats up Eddie, furthering the storyline with Flair and the Filthy Animals before Flair gets buried in the desert, of course, which is just another thing. So they're continuing the Flair-Eddie Guerrero-Filthy Animals feud, but I don't know. To me, I think the match would have been better with a clean finish, Eddie just going over instead of having a DQ. You probably would agree, right?
Yeah, pay-per-views, you need clean finishes.
Why do you think that is? Like, why do you think you need clean?
Because you're paying to see it. You're paying to see it. It's like going to an Avengers movie, and at the end, the Avengers don't kick the shit out of the villains, and it ends up villains escaping with nobody getting hurt.
Sure, it's almost like you got ripped off a little bit. Like, hey, I paid for some clean finishes here.
Yeah.
So they go to the back, and Goldberg is beating up Sid. He hasn't busted open before the match, kind of almost setting it up for Sid to kind of be like this sympathetic babyface. And Goldberg is still a babyface here, but it's almost like setting it up for like Sid being the big baby. You like that? Like the big monster, because Goldberg and Sid are going to wrestle later, but you like that the big monster gets beat up in the back and he's laying bloodied before his big match against the other big monster?
You ever see the Frankenstein movie?
I don't recall, no.
Did the town people beat up the monster before the end of the movie? No. Sid was a monster.
Yeah, I would love to know, like, the reasoning behind it. I know, to me, it's just weird. It's like, okay, Goldberg versus Sid later, these two monsters going at, like, Sid has to get beat up beforehand, and he's all bloody and stuff. I guess they're trying to turn him into, like, the sympathetic babyface, but he's so big and such a monster, it's almost like, I'm not buying that, you know?
Yeah. They're going against the grain, and I understand maybe why they want to shake things up, but, you know, it's their take on what they're doing.
So then Buff Bagwell's music fills the arena. He comes out to the ring. He says he has a problem with the two new guys in charge and saying that these new guys jump to the south, but they kept saying two guys from the north jump ship. You like that? Is that a little too inside baseball here? We have to know that the writers came, you know, the writing has changed.
Who's going to wrestle Buff?
So it's really Jeff Jarrett's going to kind of come down and they're going to kind of play off something there. He doesn't have a match, but they're going to play it off with Jarrett and him kind of building towards a match.
Yeah, but his problem is with the new guys coming down from the north. What new guy's going to wrestle Buff?
Oh, true. Nobody. Yeah, neither one of those guys.
There's
yeah.
no payoff.
So he's mentioning them. I don't know. I feel like maybe because they want to be mentioned, I guess. But then he
says, think?
Yeah.
You think?
Then he says he's got a real problem with Jeff Jarrett because obviously Jarrett attacked him on Nitro. So now he's starting to mention who he's going to feud with. So Jarrett hit him with a chair shot, and Jarrett's returned to WCW after he literally just left WWF. So good coup to get Jarrett after, you know, after he obviously took a decent chunk of change from Vince and came south. If you know that Jeff story, he ended up making out pretty good on his way out. So then it's basically Jarrett's kind of saying, or Jarrett and Bagwell is kind of going to be the feud or whatever is. That's where Bagwell's positioning himself. But I don't know. I just thought it was weird. He's got to mention those guys and then Jarrett. Like, not necessary.
No, clouding the issue.
So Jarrett also hit Luger with a guitar on Nitro, so kind of bringing that into the fold too. And Luger kind of chases Jarrett away. But the whole thing is basically predicated on Jarrett's back. He's making an impact. He's hitting Elizabeth with the guitar. He hit Buff with the guitar. He wants to hit Luger with it. They're kind of trying to make Jarrett into almost like this lone cowboy or this lone guitarman who's just going to attack. So the next match up, Brad Armstrong defeats Berlin, a.k.a. Alex Wright, who was with the Wall in about 4 minutes and 30 seconds. I know nothing great here. Not a great. I mean, it was okay, but like the ending was really weird. Armstrong doesn't really hit a finish, but he ends up getting the win. It's just the Berlin gimmick being the almost like the Nazi guy from Germany with the Wall with him. I don't know. Something just wasn't working. Even though Brad Armstrong is awesome and one of the best, something just wasn't working here with these two.
Yeah, and Alex Wright was great too. So it was just the chemistry wasn't there, obviously.
It was weird. Like, Brad Armstrong was hardly on TV at that point in 99, and he comes and he beats Berlin, a.k.a. Alex Wright, who's under a new gimmick. When you got a guy with a new gimmick, don't you want to kind of get that gimmick over?
Yeah, you do, if you're going to do anything with him.
Yeah, I don't know. You would think on paper, like, oh, it's probably pretty good, but I don't know. I wasn't feeling that one at all. The next one, though, the next match is actually pretty good. Rick Steiner defeats Chris Benoit for the television championship. Match goes about 13 minutes. Benoit actually just beat Rick Steiner, who held the title for quite a bit. So now Steiner in this rematch gets the victory here. This is a pretty damn good match. I know I don't know about what other people thought, but I really liked the match. I thought it was great. The chemistry always there with Benoit. Obviously, very hard hitting between Rick Steiner and Benoit, as you could imagine.
Yeah. I mean, two of the greatest talents in the history of the business.
Yep.
You wouldn't expect anything less.
To me, there was a little bit of like chicanery with like Malenko and Saturn trying to get involved and them kind of maybe turning on Benoit a little bit. But besides that, I just thought that was a good match and I really enjoyed it. Like you can imagine, obviously, Rick Steiner could be a little stiff. And obviously, you know firsthand about Benoit, you know, he could be pretty stiff as well.
Right. And I know about Rick, too. I wrestled Rick quite a bit.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Your old varsity club member. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then we have Lex Luger, the total package, which was interesting because they really weren't calling him Lex Luger. They were literally just calling him the total package. You like that? I don't know. That, to me, that was kind of strange. It's like, we're not going to call him Lex Luger anymore. He's just the total package.
I don't know. Is it Reggie Jackson, Mr. October?
Yeah, no, to me, I'm going to call him, you know, Reggie. I'm going to call him Lex Luger. I mean, the total package is his nickname, but I'm not just going to call him Package, you know.
And Reggie's jersey doesn't say October, right? It says Jackson.
Yeah. I don't know why. It was weird. It's like, and the announcers kept calling the total package. So they're really, really trying to get it over. But here he's wrestling Bret Hart, the total package. Lex Luger with Miss Elizabeth defeats Bret Hart by submission in about 8 minutes. Man, it just the finish fell a little short with kind of Bret being kind of knocked out from from Elizabeth. I know there was a lot of cheating and chicanery going involved. Luger just ends up putting him in like the half crab or the leg crab, and the referee calls for the bell with the knockout. But it wasn't what we're normally used to seeing from Luger. I know it seemed a little bit slow and not really what we're used to seeing with Bret Hart. Maybe unmotivated at this point, but weird. Wasn't good. You would think Luger and Bret, oh, this is going to be great. Not that great.
Do you see a pattern?
Not good booking, you mean?
Who's getting over on this? Everything you said so far has been centralized about the guys in the back. The spotlight's on them.
Hmm. A lot of it, yeah. Yep. So Bret kind of teasing, he's got some sort of injury here, and he kind of, you know, he gives up from the submission. But I was just surprised, thinking like, wow, Bret's probably going to be Luger here. He's going to be on his way to a big push, but Bret loses to Luger here. So I don't know, just interesting booking. Not particularly feeling it so far with this new regime as we're going through the show. Goldberg is in the back with Mike Tenay, and he says Sid is a dead man, and he attacked him before he was trying to kill him. So I don't know, I guess really trying to get Goldberg here. Not, he's still babyface, but he's doing some heel-esque things, which we'll find out months later, that Russo liked him as a heel. But I don't know. Just an interesting part of, I know that was kind of his gimmick anyway. He's going to kill you. He's a monster. But I don't know. It was a weird way to kind of book Goldberg here, because to me, he came off more heelish, and Sid came off, even though he's bigger and he's a monster, came off more like the sympathetic babyface.
Change of regime, right? They're doing everything different. It's the only thing I can think of.
So then Medusa ends up coming out. She's wearing a bikini. She comes out and says that this new powers that be, this new regime, she of course mentioned them, like you said before, like they seem getting a mention here. She's got the new Nitro Cologne. She then pours the Nitro Cologne on Bobby Heenan, and then she says that they're all bullshit. So I don't know if it's supposed to be some Nitro Cologne commercial, and then she pours it on Bobby as some sort of, I don't know what. It's very cheesy stuff, corny stuff. It didn't get over with me.
I think you described it perfectly. Pretty corny.
If you were doing the Nitro Cologne thing, would you pour it out? Isn't that kind of saying this is no good? Like if you're doing a commercial for it?
That's how I perceive it.
I'm guessing Bobby the Brain probably not happy that I know he probably knew about it, but I'm guessing he probably wasn't enthralled that that was going to happen.
I'm sure he wasn't.
So now, next up, I don't think you're going to like this part. Next up is the main event, quote unquote, but it's not the main event. So we think it's a WWE Heavyweight Championship match between Sting and Hulk Hogan, being the rematch from Fall Brawl, where Sting turned heel and he attacked Hogan and he cheated to win and he was with Luger and stuff. But this match isn't technically main eventing the show. And in stunning fashion, with Hogan being involved, you would think, okay, it's got to be the main event with Hogan. It's not. So Hogan comes down to the ring. His music plays. He's nowhere to be found. It plays for a few minutes, and then he doesn't come out. So then Sting comes out to hit his music. He comes out. Hogan then comes out, not wearing the red and yellow. He's just wearing like a vest and basically a vest and jeans. And he comes out, and he just lays down for Sting. They ring the bell. Sting puts his foot on him. 1, 2, 3, and that's it. Sting retains the title. The fans were pissed. Can you make any sense of this? I mean, are they trying to do some inside baseball work shoot stuff here where Hogan just lays down? Like, what the hell's going on here?
I have no idea what's going on. I'm completely lost.
Very weird. So Hogan staying is supposed to be this big rematch, and for some reason Hogan just lays down and that's it. So obviously Russo and Hogan weren't on the same page just as far as what the booking was going to be. Like, I guess Russo wanted Sting to beat Hogan, and Hogan maybe wanted something different. Or so Hogan just said, all right, I'm going to come out, I'm going to lay down in 3 seconds and lose. And then Hogan would be gone for a few months until you kind of come back, and then Hogan comes back to TV. But this was, I don't know, weird. Happened twice in the cup. Remember, we talked about Bash at the Beach with Hogan and Jarrett. But it happens again here with Hogan and Sting. This is obviously before that. But I don't know, very, very weird here. Would you ever book something like that? Like, as far as just, I know there was the finger poke of Doom, and that's obviously, you know, and Hogan involved with that again. But would you think of this? Like, Hogan's just going to lay down for Sting in 3 seconds and forget about the main event? We're going to just move on?
I certainly hope not that I would think of anything that bad.
Very weird. The crowd was not happy with this one. And obviously just a 3 second thing, very, very confusing. I don't know if it's supposed to be some sort of work shoot thing, or we're supposed to be some elaborate inside baseball thing, but Hogan literally gets pinned and walks out and leaves, and Sting is still champ. So then they go to the next match. Goldberg defeats Sid Vicious by TKO, technical knockout. Match goes about 7 minutes. Sid is bleeding throughout. The whole thing is Sid doesn't give up, doesn't quit. He literally gets knocked out, so Goldberg is declared the winner. Kind of a good, this little slugfest between these two. Do you like that, though? He just beats the hell out of him, and he's left bloody, and that's how Goldberg gets the win, doesn't pin him or submit him.
So Sid got over by doing that, you think?
I don't know. I think that's what they were going for. I don't know if it necessarily
worked. I asked you who watched it.
Yep.
Did Sid get over?
Nah, I don't think so. I know Goldberg's huge, he's a monster, but still, smaller guy beating him to death, it almost should be reversed. You know what I mean? Like, shouldn't Sid be the one bleeding and bloodying him and leaving him a pile?
I would think so, but they saw it a different way.
And obviously, Goldberg ends up winning the United States Championship here, which is kind of interesting, too, because almost like he took a back step to the U.S. title. He really, you know, kind of should be going for the world title. But just, I know, interesting to me the way they did, because it just fell flat. To me, it fell flat.
Well, the way you're explaining it sounds flat to me, too.
I don't know. I would have booked it differently, for sure. And I don't know, I guess you're trying to make Sid this, like, Steve Austin-esque babyface where he's, you know, laying in his own blood, but I didn't particularly care for it as much.
I have to agree with you.
So then we have a strap match. DDP with Kimberly defeats Ric Flair in a strap match in about 12 minutes and 50 seconds. I don't know. It's just, to me, again, just not a great match, not a great finish here. I don't know. You would think Flair and DDP, the match would be awesome. And to be honest, it just wasn't. Again, a flat finish. Maybe because they didn't have maybe experienced guys writing out the finishes, maybe? Maybe that's why every finish is kind of coming up flat?
I have no idea on that. You know what I mean? I wasn't there. So maybe. Could be an idea.
And then, of course, the Filthy Animals come out. They beat up Flair. They put Flair in an ambulance and they drive away. Which, of course, you will find out the next night on Nitro. They're going to bury him in the desert, which is a different story for a different day. But, man, he not only does he lose to DDP in a flat ending and a flat match, he then gets beat up by the Filthy Animals and then taken away. So Hogan's gone, Flair's gone, and both don't look good and both look flat. The Sid ending is flat. Goldberg kind of, even though he looked dominant, kind of looks like a heel, and he's a U.S. champ. Like, weird. Before we get to the main event. I know, to me, weird show so far.
Right.
You getting that vibe?
Oh, completely.
So then Sting comes back out and says that there wasn't a championship match. He wants to defend the title. Goldberg then comes out again, and Goldberg ends up defeated Sting for the WCW championship in about 3 minutes. I mean, 3 minute match. It was entertaining as hell just because, you know, Goldberg and Sting are awesome, but very, very short. So if it's as good as a 3 minute match as you're going to get, which is, you know, you're not really going to get too excited over it. But Sting had beaten up the ref. Goldberg thinks he's the champ, but it's technically a non-title match. It was very, very weird the way it was described. Sting wanted to defend the title, but they didn't announce it was a title match. Weird stuff, but they end the pay-per-view with it looking like there was a lot of drama around the world title, and we don't know who the world champion is. That's the way the show ends. Kind of, I don't know, poor booking to me to end the show.
Would you buy another pay-per-view after this?
I did, but I was very, very skeptical of it because I'm like, wait a second. they said Goldberg's a champ, but then they kind of said he isn't the champ. Sting, it couldn't be the champ, but then he attacked the referee. So is there some sort of suspension going on with Sting? Like, it was very, very confusing. But Goldberg ended the night looking like he was the U.S. champ and the world champ, but the announcers kind of wouldn't crown him as it. It's very strange.
So it's false booking.
Yes. Yep. Sting, of course, disputes the decision, beats at the ref, and the show ends. So definitely a tease. But it's one of the things where you have to watch Nitro the next night, but do you want to watch Nitro the next night to follow up on what the hell just happened?
I'm not sure.
Are you confused by all of this?
Completely. Completely.
So what they announced the next night on Nitro, a 32-man tournament for the vacant WCW Championship. Bret Hart ends up winning that title at Mayhem in a great match against Benoit to win the title a month later at the Mayhem pay-per-view. But man, getting there was crazy. The tournament itself and the people involved, it's crazy.
I'm here to ask you a question. Do you think 32 guys in boxing, do they have the top 32 guys listed?
No. Top 10. I think UFC is top 15 now, but that's the top you're going to go. Yeah, top 10.
32 guys are qualified to wrestle for the title?
And if you saw some of these people in the tournament, hell no. No way.
Hey.
So, two thumbs down on this one, I'm going to guess?
Absolutely. My whole hands are down.
To me, I liked Eddie and Saturn, and I liked Steiner and Benoit, but that's it. The rest of it was, I don't know, crazy. The booking was crazy, but that's where we're in this one. Definitely not a good pay-per-view, not a good start for Russo and for the Powers That Be era. Not a good start. So let's hit the plugs. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. You can follow Kevin on Instagram at Taskmaster Talks. Go to Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com, and visit the Kevin Sullivan store. Kevin, what else you got going on in your world?
Well, I'm going to be in Homestead Saturday and for CCW. Oh. But I'm still on my fishing trip, so I'm having a good time visiting my family.
Nice. I love that. Extended fishing trip for you. I love that.
Yeah.
But thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Please welcome in our new sponsor, Fishing Clash. Download Fishing Clash for free right now on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of your Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose the gift code section, and input my special code, Taskmaster, to get an awesome reward for a total value of $20. $8. Enjoy chilling atmosphere after a hardworking day. Get familiar with different types of fish species and their habits. You can choose one or two, or you know what you like the most. Explore amazing fishing spots worldwide from Florida to Kamchatka. Whether you prefer fly fishing, ice fishing, trolling, you'll admire the look of all the fishing spots available in this game. This game will help you remember how you went fishing with your dad when you were a kid. So download Fishing Clash today for free on your mobile phone by typing in Fishing Clash in the search bar of the Google Play or App Store. Open the menu in the top right-hand corner, choose gift code section, and input the special code TASKMASTER to get a total value of $20. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fishing Clash, as it is a great casual time killer. If you've experienced a loss of motivation, energy, or sex drive, or if you're noticing that you're a little softer around the middle than you used to be, it could be your testosterone levels have dropped. By the time men reach the age of 30, in most cases, their T levels have started to decline, and low T can lead to a loss of muscle mass, depression, lack of energy, and a low sex drive. The good news is now you have your remedy with Test X9. This stuff is the real deal, guys. This formula has 9 clinically proven ingredients to naturally boost your body's own testosterone production. Experience increases in strength, energy, and sex drive, as well as improved mood and well-being. Feedback has been awesome. Guys in their 30s and 40s have reported waking up with the quote-unquote morning wood for the first time since they were teenagers. If you want to take it to the next level, you can maximize your results with the Ultimate Test Stack, which combines the Test X9 with the T-Assist, an estrogen control and liver support blend, and Recovery PM, an amazing sleep aid that has had incredible feedback for helping people to get the best sleep they've ever had without feeling groggy that next day. You'll be amazed with the effect of raising your T levels and improving your sleep will have on your overall performance and well-being. Don't settle for average. Man up at LegacySupps.com. That is LegacySupps.com. And use the promo code Sullivan for an additional 10% off your entire order. That's LegacySupps.com. And use that promo code Sullivan for 10% off your entire order for the best health and workout supplements out there. This is Pro Wrestler approved. The madness has officially begun, and it's time for you to shoot your shot and score big on the nonstop action with MyBookie. It doesn't matter whether you're filling out multiple brackets, betting the national championship winner, or simply looking for player and game props. MyBookie has you covered. Sign up today at MyBookie and use the promo code TASKMASTER to secure a first deposit bonus up to $1,000. It's simple, folks. Put in $200 and play with $300. Just use the promo code TASKMASTER and claim your bonus. College ball, NBA, and UFC, no matter the sport, no matter the minute, MyBookie puts the action in your hands with in-game live betting. And with the choice from thousands of lines and odds, you can turn any game day into payday. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. Just don't forget to use that promo code TASKMASTER. Remember, you can bet anything, you can bet anytime, you can bet anywhere with MyBookie.
Fans, let me tell you this. We don't know in all the years that we've been doing WCW Monday Nitro, us two, we do not know what to expect tonight. A part of the creative team of the World Wrestling Federation became a part of WCW, and tonight is their first night.
Mr. Magnus waited a very long time.
And they think I'm
bust,
and I'm
no
stuff.
And they've told you this through your face.
Brother, it's all over the internet. I'm the superstar. I'm the one going to take World Championship Wrestling.
the promised land.
Bret Hart has just walked out on a down.
I've been lied to and lied to and filled with four lies one day after another. A couple of new guys show up. Politics starts to take its place again.
It's all a big plan. It's all a big work. I am the chosen one. And there isn't a damn thing anyone can do about it.
If you could just join us here in the real world for a little while, you'd realize one thing. Promises do not come true in this business.
No face to the outside.
Oh, there's a fight going on right at ringside. Securities come in.
And I know that these powers to be, these so-called powers to be, are trying to phase out some of the older guys and trying to build up these new guys and make a whole new system work.
You want to be like me? You want to walk it out? Woo! You want to go out crazy? Get them. Bring that slick back hair. Bring that white t-shirt.
Well, it didn't take much to bring them out.
Looking at the next WCW World Heavyweight Champion. You need to take it up with the new powers that be.
You know what? Who else can beat me? Won't you come down and beat me, big man?
Everybody gets screwed in this business. Everybody.
No respect, no remorse. Frankly, we just don't give up.
I don't want to tear up anybody's evening gown. That's rough, John.
Come on, Kimberly!
is not the WWF, and we do not hit women here.
Run for your life, Karen.
Let me spell it out to you. I just screwed you out of the tournament.
Hold on, it's creative control.
Scum running around in the back. Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, Sid.
Oh, hold on now. And the Outsiders have gone. Sid Vicious holds his throat.
Here's your
I have never been a wrestler. I don't want to be a wrestler. And I thought I made myself perfectly clear to you.
Dustin Rhodes and Creative Control in pursuit.
Oh, yeah. Have you noticed what they're writing about? They write in TNA. They write in sex. You know why? They can't get any. They got to write about it.
They have come up when Booker T has left the building. They have told the producers to kill your mic.
We run the show around here. Nobody else.
I believe you're pushing 50. Oh, you've got some B-movies to your credit, some real blockbusters. But in this world, in my world, you are done. I think you need to go join Flair. Join Hogan. Go to Boca Raton. The retirement home is awaiting. But just get the hell out of my face.